We hope you enjoy the following presentation of the Progress Lunation Cycle in Astrology by Nikki Michaels. This is part two of the second talk on Saturday afternoon, September 24th, 1983, at the RITA Conference in Palo Alto, California. This recording is 44 minutes long. This audio is brought to you by RITA, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyard. All material is copyrighted by RITA. If you'd like to learn more about RITA or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com. And now, Nikki Michaels.
So are you saying that the impact as an infant is more through the family?
Quite often you'll see that there may be transformational, astrological transformations obvious in the parent's chart that will then affect the child. And I'm also saying that's not always true, because I have seen charts of people who, from a very, very young age, from their first memories, every type of experience that they can recall will have great astrological correlation and will then have meaning that can be traced back to a very early point in life. But that's not for everybody. But for the people that can't really relate very specific qualities or events to the very early life, you'll find that often around the age of puberty, quite often, when all of the hormones, the adult hormones, click in, and there's a major transformation on a biological level that's a generic transformation because it occurs to everyone at about the same age, we find that then the person begins resonating with their own rhythms, and you can begin to pick up not only the lunation cycle, but the basic quality of the individual. It's like they click into their chart and they have to deal with the challenges in a very concrete way from that point on. When we look at the lunation cycle, since it's most people are not born exactly at the new moon, most of us born after a cycle has already begun in the sky. There's a new moon approximately once every 30 days. So there will be a new moon before each of our births, within the 30-day period before our birth. And when we look at the idea of the particular phase that we happen to be born in, which is also a very important thing to look at when you're dealing with the natal chart, the solar-lunar relationship, then we're understanding that there is some kind of situation that the person is already born into, because we're born within a cycle that has already started before birth. And that represents the idea that we're all born into, first of all, one sex or another, which I think is the most basic differentiation, is that right? Okay. And we're born into a certain family structure with either both parents there or whatever the situation is. We either have brothers and sisters or we don't. We have a certain first grade teacher who likes us or doesn't like us. We're born into a certain race, certain religion. We learn to speak a particular language that helps to form the way that we think. And I know there are a number of people here from out of the country who speak, their native language is not English, and I'm sure they can tell you that when you begin to think in a different language, your thoughts are formed in a totally different manner. So even the way we think is very culturally bound, although that's not something that we normally relate to and understand. And so the idea that there is a new moon before birth and that we're born within a cycle that has already begun is very significant. The way the new moon before birth can be utilized when dealing with the progressed lunation cycle is that you can look at the degree that new moon before birth takes place and look at the Sabian symbol for that particular degree and get an understanding of that symbolically. The Sabian symbols, for anyone who's not familiar with them, are a set of symbols that were developed in the 1930s by a very intuitive woman. And Rudyard has written a book called An Astrological Mandala that looks at the set of 360 Sabian symbols from, you guessed it, a structural perspective, which is a very beautiful way of looking at them. And we can also see if the new moon before birth, what house it falls in the natal chart, and if it happens to be conjunct a particular planet, or if it fills out a planetary formation in the natal chart. at some point after the person's birth, they're going to come to what we call the first progressed new moon. If a person is born at the full moon, then there would have been a new moon taking place in the sky approximately 15 days after they're born. Therefore, when they're 15 years old, they will experience their first progressed new moon. If a person is born during right before a new moon, they may be 1 year old when they experience the first progressed new moon. But however old a person is at that point, symbolically it represents something very significant. It shows that that person is then able to begin a building period in their life, a building period that is all their own. They have passed through, in a sense, that period of finishing up the karma from the cycle within which they were born. And in a way, they're psychically released from that past. Now, what does it mean for a one-year-old person to be psychically released from the past? There they are, 1 year old, and they're in that family structure. Well, if you've studied Rudyard's work, and I can't go into this in depth in this talk, but if you studied Rudyard's work on the lunation cycle, you realize that someone that's born at the ending phase of the lunation cycle, which is called the balsamic phase, is the seed planter, is the visionary, is the person that's, in a sense, born before their time. And so from the age of 1 to maybe 14, they will be building, and they will be ingrained with all the cultural stereotypes that all their friends are ingrained with. But it won't have the same meaning for them. It won't stick. They'll feel out of step. And at the time that they come to perhaps the full moon point around the age of 15 and begin to build, to try and build consciousness around what's been put into them, it all may fall apart for them because it can't stick. It's not in their nature. That's not the rhythm of their life. That's not their dharma. And so there will be a different quality of life experience for each person depending on the phase that they happen to be born within in the lunation cycle. And yet that first progressed full moon, whatever age it occurs, is very, very important. The other interesting thing to realize with the progressed lunation cycle is that you're developing a framework for a life within which, a very individual framework, within which you can relate the generic cycles that we all experience. For instance, if everyone experiences the Saturn returns at approximately the same ages in life, a Saturn return may fall for one person in the disseminating phase, another person at the new moon. And so although on a generic level there will be the same quality, the same type of transition that's taking place, it will have a very different meaning within the individual context. And so you can use the lunation cycle as a basic structure that you can overlay the generic and other personal cycles to. Are there any questions that you have about this? And I'm going to go into the phases of the lunation cycle.
Are you
next.
Talking about lunation types? Did you touch on that? And is there, when you mentioned the seed phase, a person born in the balsamic phase, Rudyard, I know, is an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
But are those lunation types in here? Are we looking at that?
Well, we're not going to be able to look at lunation types specifically. You can read the lunation cycle, which goes over that. But whatever lunation type a person is first of all going to show up within the lunation cycle because that's where you start their clock. And so it's taken for granted that you will notice and understand the meaning of that particular phase of the moon as a birth phase. Does that answer your question? Okay. Now I'm going to go through the 8 phases of the lunation cycle, starting with, of course, the new moon. At the time of the new moon, have you ever noticed that no one says, hey, it's really far out, there's a new moon tonight? No, it happens at the full moon, but not at the new moon. And part of the reason for that, obviously, is because there's nothing glowing up in the sky saying, hey, look at me. It's a time of a mysterious union between the bipolar forces that the sun and the moon represent. And it's the time that the seed energy of this particular cycle is released. Rudyard said it in a particularly beautiful way. He says there's a new tone that resounds. Think of a gong being stricken at that particular point, and then the tone resounds very strongly and moves through the whole rest of that cycle, fading more and more to the end, and then a new strike, a new gong sound at the beginning of the next cycle. And what happens at the new moon is that a new state of potentiality is about to unfold. The new moon phase The new moon takes place when the sun and moon are exactly conjunct. They're 0 degrees apart. However, the phase in the lunation cycle lasts from the time of that conjunction until the moon is 45 degrees ahead of the sun. It's a time in a person's life when it's important for them to be open and accepting. The moon is dark. It's a time that the instincts and the intuitive are alive. In fact, this is an eightfold cycle, but if you want, you can, I won't do this for you, but you can overlay the 12-fold cycle of the signs of the zodiac on this, and the first degree of lunation cycle is going to equate with that first degree of Aries. Of course, you can take any cycle of activity, and the beginning of any cycle of activity, you can correlate to the beginning of any other cycle of activity, and it's going to equate to more or less the same quality of energy. So it's a time to be open and accepting, to see what presents itself in one's life, and then to move forward through the intuitive process, which is very difficult for some people. Clients that come to me at the new moon say, well, I've got all of these choices to make. Now, what do you think I should do? I could do this, and they're trying to be very logical about it, and it's not a time for logic. It's not a time when life is going to present clear-cut alternatives. It's a time when inspiration needs to be the guide. The new moon point also can be a very momentous point in a person's life, regardless of age. At 5 years old or 29 years old, some people will look back, for instance, at the first progressed new moon and say, yes, that was the beginning of my life. April of 1964, or whatever, yes, I remember that very well. Everything has been different since then. And there may be very significant events that occur right at that month that the progressed new moon takes place, or there may not be. And again, one is not to judge the validity, in a sense, of the cycles according to whether or not something happened. Oh, well, this must be wrong. This can't be right. It can be any way. The context of any individual's life can operate, it will operate the way it's going to operate for them. And so sometimes the progressed new moon will come in with a bang, and sometimes it comes in, it just kind of slips in the back door. However, whatever it is that occurred for the person at that point in life represents the seed for the next 30 years of their life. So whatever it is, it's significant. And if there's nothing they can recall, that's also significant. Then the trick is to see what finally emerges as we get closer to that crescent phase. The crescent phase begins when the moon is 45 degrees ahead of the sun and ends at the next phase when the moon is 90 degrees ahead of the sun. And the crescent phase has to do with the overcoming of inertia from the past. There's a little glimmer of light. There's a crescent that's showing. And finally, a person comes out of this period of much activity, but a lot of confusion, and says, aha, I don't know why, and I don't know what it's all going to mean, but I have a sense there's something that needs to occur, and I know what that is. So there's a sense of focus that can come into the life at that point, and it's a time of slowly building. But it's also a time where the inertia from the past, the karma, the residual from that past cycle, there's a very, very strong undertow at that time, as there is in this building phase also at the first quarter square, where the ghosts from the past, in a sense, come up and haunt that person, lure that person back into some of the old patterns of the past. And it's a real test for the person to move towards what that little sliver of light represents. During the crescent phase, you also have the waxing sextile. And the waxing sextile is a point that represents the possibility then to organize that which has begun. If we want to think of the lunation cycle in terms of the life cycle of a plant, we can say that the seed that has been sitting under the soil all winter, waiting, and the life force has been focusing very strongly within it, at the time of the new moon, the first rains of spring come, and the seed releases that life force in a very powerful burst of energy. However, if you're standing above the soil looking down, you don't see any change. There may not be anything obvious, but beneath the soil, a whole new life has begun. When you get to that waxing sextile, the seed is putting up the little sproutlets, trying to find its way up to the top of the soil, and the little rootlets moving downward in the soil, setting up the structure that is then going to carry the plant and the root system down to do the work that they each have to do. The first quarter square, which begins when the moon is 90 degrees ahead of the sun and ends when the moon is 135 degrees ahead of the sun, is one of these significant turning points in the cycle. It's when the moon is moving outside of the Earth's orbit, which is that matrix between the sun and the Earth, the moon being the mediator that goes into that subjective realm between the sun and the Earth, and then outside that subjective realm, which is between the sun and Mars, the Earth and Mars. The moon moves past that orbit point towards Mars, representing a crisis in action, which is what Mars, of course, represents, action moving outside of oneself. Whatever it is that the seed is trying to develop into becomes formulated in a very specific manner at that first quarter square. There's an opportunity to solidify. The first quarter square also represents the point of no return, in that something is set there at that moment and during that phase in the cycle that will last and carry itself through until the full moon point. If you've ever looked at the first quarter square moon in the sky, it's a very striking thing to see. The moon looks like it's sliced in half with the knife, and you don't usually see that kind of straight line in the sky. And it does represent a point, a very crucial point in the cycle, where the dark half of the moon and the light half of the moon are equally balanced. The conscious and the unconscious forces are of equal weight, and a person must then become conscious that something new is trying to emerge in their life, and they must consciously attempt to give form to it. For the first quarter of the cycle, and really for the last quarter of the cycle, when the moon is more dark than light, one in a sense has an excuse to rely on the intuitive instinctual responses. That's appropriate. However, between the first quarter square and the last quarter square, when the moon has more light than dark, one needs to look at one's life and to really consciously formulate what one is doing, especially in this building half of the cycle, so that the new direction needs to be established at this point. And just as in any phase, the first quarter square can come in many forms to many different people. It can either seem as though it's a great opportunity where something unusual enters the person's life and they go, aha, this is it. They've been working towards something, and all of a sudden it begins to formulate very powerfully for them. Or it can be a very, very deep crisis. But the point of the first quarter square is that the individual needs to take hold of their life and begin to consciously direct their energy. And this is one of the points that if there's going to be a transformation in the level of operation, and of course we can't take these four levels too specifically and too literally, but if there's going to be some kind of transformation, it's very likely to happen. This is one of the points where it is going to be most likely to happen. Within that first quarter square phase, we find when the moon is 120 degrees ahead of the sun, the waxing trine. At that point, if the challenge had been met at the square, then a vision may arise, which may be a very major kind of experience for a person, or it can be something that's relatively negligible and that they really won't remember. But something may arise within them that will then lead them and direct them around to the fulfillment of their cycle at that full moon point. The next phase is the gibbous phase, which begins when the moon is 135 degrees ahead of the sun and completes itself at the full moon point, when the moon is 180 degrees ahead of the sun. And this particular phase is an interesting one because it's the time when we have to live with the decision that we made either consciously or unconsciously at the first quarter square, so that we have to take the way of life we've begun to establish for ourselves and actually live with it, work with it. We become the disciple, the apprentice. We refine. We develop our capacities towards the goal that should be coming more and more apparent. It's a time of gradual growth, and it's a time that we have to persist and persevere in what we're trying to establish for ourselves. It can be very boring and mundane. There can be very interesting experiences that happen for a person during this phase. It's not that nothing happens during the gibbous phase, because things can happen at any phase, and they do for different people. However, the basic quality of life is going to be, or the basic challenges, can this person stick with it to really make something out of that which is trying to manifest through them in their life at that point? At the full moon, we now have, and this occurs when the moon is 180 degrees ahead of the sun to 225 degrees ahead of the sun. And at the full moon point, we have the flowering, the culmination of the seed that started at the new moon. And the flower, just as this acorn may or may not turn into an oak tree, this flower may be a very beautiful flower with a wonderful scent, a prize-winning bloom, or it may be a little wilted, withered thing, depending on what types of experiences the person has had to deal with in life, how they've met the challenges and the experiences they've dealt with, and also what age they happen to be. If a person is 5 years old, for instance, at the first progressed full moon, then really what kind of flowering can a person have? There may be some kind of change that takes place within the home situation, but then 30 years later, when there's another full moon, that's going to be the point to really watch for that flowering. It's a time of objective awareness. Just as the full moon lights up the night and it's easier to see our way around without electric lights during the time of the full moon, symbolically the full moon represents the capacity to see very clearly what it is we've accomplished and also what it is we haven't accomplished. And so our successes and our failures are very clear. And generally, since we're not walking archetypes, most of us, it's not that clear cut. It's not all one way or all the other way. And during the 3.5 years of this full moon period, of this particular phase, we have the opportunity to make adjustments in our life so that if the fulfillment isn't as full as we might like it, we can readjust it and work with it. If you look at the life cycles of a number of individuals, you will begin to see that you cannot, again, predict at the full moon what will or won't happen. For instance, I'm just taking an example, and I don't know if this is one from real life that's kind of in my psyche floating around or if it's one I'm making up, but for instance, if there were a presidential candidate that were coming up and you were looking at his chart and he were about to have his progressed full moon, then you wouldn't necessarily say, oh, well, he'll be the one to win because that's the flowering. So obviously his flowering means that he will win the election. It's not that at all. For him, the flowering may be the losing of the election and then the reorientation to a new level of operation through some other type of work, for instance. It's important to realize that the full moon point is also the midpoint of this cycle. And it's the time where form has manifested as fully as it can. And there's a transformation that takes place in a realigning of allegiances, in a sense, to the development of consciousness and meaning about what that form has to do with in the person's life. During the whole first half of the cycle, also, there's a driving force. It's as if the life force is moving very, very strongly and coursing through the endeavors of the individual. And that force peters out towards the time of the full moon. It's like, I'm here. Now, maybe I like where I am and maybe I don't like where I am, but here I am and here I'll be. Therefore, what do I do next? I need to look and reorient from a building time to a time of understanding. The second half of the cycle also has to do with taking the forms that we've developed and relating them to a larger context. Because once we've done all that we can do in terms of building form in our life, then we have to give meaning to them. And in order to give meaning, we have to look beyond our own individual life and see where we fit our accomplishments in. When we move to the disseminating phase, which begins when the moon is 225 degrees ahead of the sun and ends when the moon is 270 degrees ahead of the sun, we, again, are at a time of struggle. This is a struggle towards understanding. The struggle that came at the waxing Cesta Square over here in the gibbous phase is the struggle to stick with it. struggle to move towards the perfection, the archetypal perfection that the full moon represents. You will find in the lunation cycle that points that are equidistant from another point are going to reflect each other and relate to each other, so that when you work with the lunation cycle with enough people, you begin to see correlates. This is not just a listing of events in a person's life, but you begin to see how phases of a person's life reflect back to earlier phases, even events that, if you're not looking at them structurally, seem to be totally unrelated. You begin to pick up relationships that make a lot of sense and explain a lot about why certain things happened and why a person responded the way they did at a certain point. The disseminating phase is also a time when we have the capacity to understand what we see. At the full moon, it's like someone turned on the lights, and we get to look around, and our eyes begin to get accustomed to the brightness. And at the disseminating phase, we go, aha, and this is the meaning of it. It's a time of cross-pollination where if the flower occurs at the full moon, then all the little bees come and cross-pollinate with other flowers and plants. And so it's a time of moving out into the world and sharing ideas, seeing what it is that you've got that can be utilized and interrelated and integrated with what the world has to offer. At the time of the waning trine, which occurs in the disseminating phase, we have a correlate with that waxing trine. This particular vision can be a vision for integration, taking that which was accomplished at the full moon and finding, understanding the context within which it can be used. At the last quarter square, which occurs when the moon is 270 degrees ahead of the sun to 315 degrees ahead of the sun, this is the point of fruiting in the cycle. And this fruit, as opposed to flower at the full moon. And Rudyard talked about this stage very beautifully last night when he used the analogy of the autumn leaves and the seed. At the time of the fruit, that the fruit forms on this particular plant that we've been watching develop from the seed, a person is faced with a crisis in consciousness. The moon is moving back within the orbit of the Earth, moving towards the planet Venus. It's time to reevaluate and realign oneself with a new possibility. It's important for the individual to let go of the vehicle that has brought them to this point, which would be, in the case that Rudyard was using, you either identify with the beautiful autumn foliage, these wonderful leaves that are going to fall off the tree and just become compost for the next season, or you identify with the seed, which doesn't hold the beauty and the vibrancy at that point in the cycle that the leaves do, but which holds the promise for the future. And this is, I think, maybe the most challenging point in the lunation cycle for individuals, because this culture doesn't acknowledge that there maybe is a time in our adult life where we need to let go, to realign, to not know exactly what to do next or what to grab hold of next. This is a time where quite often people find themselves having been aligned with certain structures in their life, either relationships or career or spiritual values, that all of a sudden don't hold the same meaning for them, and they're not prepared for it because they don't know what to do next, but they want to know, and they come to an astrologer at that point saying, "What is it that I do?" And you say, "I don't know." And not only that, it's good that you don't know and you don't think you know, because if you did, you would have a surprise coming later for you that wouldn't be so pleasant. So, it's true. At the first quarter square, we're seeking independence and we're seeking a new form and to establish a new form. At the last quarter square, we're seeking integration and release from the form, from the vehicle that's carried us to that particular point. Now, from the ideological crisis that can occur many times for individuals at that point in the cycle, hopefully a new ideal will arise. And that ideal represents potentially the seed for the next cycle, which will then begin to germinate and develop at the next progressed new moon. And don't forget, it's a 7-year period from the last quarter square to that next new moon. And that's a long time for for a disintegration process to take place at the same time that a new seed is forming and the new life force, the new energy of that particular seed is becoming more focused. It doesn't mean that during that last quarter nothing happens for a person or that you need to just let go of everything and not do anything, because you'll find some people actually will drop what they've been doing and not pick anything up for the next 7 years, whereas other people will have what ostensibly seem to be great results in their life in terms of a sociocultural perspective, and yet still within them a seed, this new seed may be growing and taking place. So from the external events, you cannot tell whether a person is really attaching themselves to the autumnal leaves or to the seed. But within the context of the whole individual's life, you can get an understanding of what's really happening for them. At the waning sextile, which occurs within that last quarter phase, the possibility of a reorganization taking place in preparation for the next cycle occurs. Now, during this last quarter square phase, you've got the fruit around this beginning of the balsamic phase, which occurs when the moon is 315 degrees ahead of the sun and ends at the next new moon when the moon is 360 degrees ahead of the sun. You have the fruit falling from the tree, rotting away from the seed, and the leaves and the fruit are then providing the nourishment for what will become the next cycle. The balsamic phase, Ruggiero says, is the holiest point in the cycle. The word balsam coming from the idea of the incense, the burning of incense, sending up the essence of thanks to the powers that be. It's the perfume. It's a very non-material, non-focused point in the cycle. I don't mean non-focused, that's not the right word, but it's a very kind of etheric quality to that particular point in the cycle. Here it says, when we place life on the altar, we allow the old forms to leave us. We can clean out our psychic closets, in a sense. If we know we're going to move, we have a choice. We can either move everything we own to our new house and then look at our couch that we've been lugging around, that we just paid a mover a lot of money to move for us, and say, I never really liked that couch. I think I'm going to get rid of it. But meanwhile, where do I put it before I sell it? And what do I do with it? Or we can be a little smarter about it and get rid of the couch before we move, realizing that we're going to buy a new one anyway. And so the balsamic phase of the lunation cycle is a time when we need to really let go of the remnants of that past cycle, let go of the karma that we've accumulated, in a sense, so that we don't carry a big hunk of it over to the next cycle for it to then come up in the first quarter of that next cycle. The balsamic phase is a time when we either see the futility of life, and if a person has associated themselves with the decaying leaves at the last quarter, then by the time they get to the balsamic, things may appear very bleak indeed. Or a person sees a new possibility formulating. What happens is the moon gets closer and closer to the conjunction with the sun during the balsamic phase, is that the process of formulating a new need becomes more and more real to the person. I've had people say to me, I have the sense things are going to change. I know that something is going to come of the struggle I'm going through. I'm almost at the edge of understanding and knowing what to do next, but it's not quite now. And that's a very balsamic type of experience. Around the time of the new moon, the person generally will, within several months of it, one way or the other, have that sense of what it is that's trying to begin. And so the focus of the life force then really essentializes during that balsamic phase. And then the need that arises, the next whole cycle of activity formulates an answer to that need. So the need represents the seed upon which the next cycle is built. Are there any questions about the phases now of the lunation cycle? I should say that then it begins all over again. This should be obvious, but let's not overlook anything. It all begins again then at the next progressed new moon, where the person is, hopefully, if they're evolving at all, not, I mean, they're 30 years older, so obviously they're not at the same place they were before, and we're building up a spiral where that point in the cycle, that progressed new moon, has the same essential quality as the progressed new moon that happened 30 years before, and yet they hopefully will have transformed through the crises that they have faced during that last 30 years and be operating at a different level than they were 30 years before. They will begin the building of a cycle based on a completely new need that has emerged through that balsamic phase. Okay. Yes.
Could you give an example of how the opposite phases are related to each other?
Yes, I can give an example of how opposite phases are related to each other. For instance, let's say, I'll use the politician again, because it happens that I've studied the life of a politician recently that I know. It happens to be, I can't go through the whole life cycle, which I would like to do if I had more time, but for instance, Indira Gandhi, who was born in the waxing sextile. So she was in her later 20s when she reached the first progressed full moon. And at that time, she made her first that's not a good example. Anyway, I'm sorry, but I'm lost. So I'll just make up an example. If a politician, let's say, made her first political speech at the progressed new moon, and by the time they got to the full moon, they became president. That kind of thing. Or where a person makes a major move. This is something that you see in lives all the time, where a person is maybe 18 or 25 or 30, and at the progressed new moon, they move away from where they were brought up. They start a whole new life. They don't know what they're going to do. They're very, very confused. They don't know what kind of work they want to do. So they just do anything for the first few years of the lunation cycle. And then, at the first quarter square, something begins to emerge that's very tangible for them. And they begin to really develop that which is kind of come through the confusing aspects of the first quarter square. At the full moon, they can then see that they've accomplished something very significant, that they can trace back to that seed period and that radical move that they made away from their family. Yeah?
Along with that, there's also, I've kind of noticed that there's a secondary cycle based on the one that you start with, that also with the new moon and full moon, sets up a new moon and full moon polarity.
What's that?
No. So like if you're born under the Gibbous phase.
I see, yes.
You know, so in other words, like it's not necessarily to think of new things only starting.
No, yeah, you're right. That's right. Any phase, you can see what Bennett is saying, is that anything that occurs at any particular point in the lunation cycle, at the point that is halfway around for it, represents the full moon point to that new thing that started. And so there will be the culmination. Thank
but
you.
But also that your birth, the phase that you're born into, has that same kind of phase characteristics carried through.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I have a question, too. Say the degree for the new moon symbol, but the degree for the new moon. Have you seen anything with transits?
You mean the transiting new moon?
Outer planet transits to that degree and correspondence with
Oh, I see. Yeah, you can look at that, and I think that there would be correspondences. I think what Bennett is saying is that if you look at the point that the progressed new moon took place in a person's life and watch transiting major transits to that point, can that be significant? Yes, that could be significant.
Yeah. Colors the whole lunation if it's on the new moon. It can color the whole lunation. And if you have a Saturn transit on a progressed new moon, we'll have a very Saturnian lunation.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're saying that. I think Alexander Ruperti is saying that if you have at the time of the progressed new moon a Saturn transit. That's yes. Any major transit that occurs at a progressed new moon is part of the tone, is part of the quality of the seed of that cycle, and will color the whole developmental, that whole cycle. Thank you. Yes?
Suppose I want to ask an example of a potential client.
Okay.
So a client would come, I'll go quickly. A client would come and they're in a struggle about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think it's self-evident, but I want to make sure. Suppose they're in the descendant phase. Then one of the resolutions to their dilemma is through incorporating the ideas of the disseminating phase?
Yes, and the most important thing is to look at their particular pattern of relationships. Maybe say, look, if it's a particular relationship, what phase did that relationship begin? When did other relationships begin? What is the meaning of that relationship within the context of their life? And is that relationship even the issue when they come to see you? A lot of times people come with a particular question about some event or some relationship that's happening in their life, and when you talk to them, that really doesn't have anything to do with what the true focus of their life is. That's not really what they're asking, but they have a need, and they don't know. The need is forming on an unconscious level where they want something more, but they don't know what to ask, so they ask about the relationship. So it could be any of the above. Okay. Yeah?
Successive new moons, obviously going to happen in successive signs, successive houses. So what meaning do you give to that evolution?
Well, when you watch the moon... Oh, the question is that successive progress new moons are going to happen in progressive signs, usually, and probably in successive houses. What is the meaning of that? Which is a good question. The meaning would be that the quality of that sign, and particularly the degree that that new moon takes place, utilizing what I think are the best way of understanding that would be to look at the Sabian symbol for that particular degree. Mm-hmm. And what you could see the progressive new moons as representing the evolutionary growth of that person in terms of you're looking at the seed periods. If you look at the symbol for the new moon before birth and the successive new moons, mm-hmm. then you see the stages of development in these very crucial periods in a person's life. What is the tone? What is the meaning of these different tones that is released? And quite often they tell a story. In fact, they always tell a story mm-hmm. of this kind of developmental pattern and what that person will be dealing with during that successive 30-year cycle.
And probably changing.
Well, the changing sign is implied in that because the Sabian symbol is going to be for that particular sign, and the house is going to be, I mean, the focus of the house position should be fairly obvious also in that that seed may have to do with the focus of what that particular house relates to, mm-hmm. and it will succeed from there.
Because in someone's life, it's obviously one quarter, which is the emphasis
of
the illumination cycle.
Yes, but of course you could also say, well, what houses do the progress full moons fall in, or the quarters. So it doesn't only have to be the new moon that you can do that with. You can watch the progressed lunation cycle if you wanted to on an overlay of the chart, but I think you probably have enough to deal with just using it on its own. Okay. Are there any other questions? Yeah.
To me, everything you've said today is the first time I've heard it in my life. So not everything has been understood.
I'm sure.
But there's something that you said that particularly set something off in my mind that I want to put forward. For the last few years, I've been studying with a master of psychology who's been doing to psychology what Gain Ridger has done for astrology. His name is Dr. Michael Ebner, and he sits right here. And he and I have been studying the decision-making process that the infant is going through as the soul incarnates into this particular lifetime, encountering a set of conditions, mm-hmm. there are predictable series of decisions that the human infant made. And when you started talking about the lunar cycles, you said, a lot of you are probably going to wonder why, but we're going to equate a day with a year. I was one of those persons who said, why? I did not understand that. And later on, you gave an example of a 1 or 2 year old who made hit, according to his star chart, a hugely important time in his life where our adult interpretation would be, well, it must have been something with his family or whatever, because we can't look into that person's mind. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I flashed that there's a lot of the work that you have done that directly relates or can make sense out of why one would look at the day equals year cycle, because in some way what happens in that early time then gets relived or lived out. It is the seed which gets dealt with through the successive years. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very valid point, and it was well said. And I think also that you can really take any particular system of psychology, like a Freudian or Jungian perspective, and overlay it on the context of the lunation cycle, because what the lunation cycle is a structure. And you can take any other kind of psychological formulation, if that's what one wants to do, and see the developmental process from that perspective. But on the other hand, what this offers is then the possibility for the evolutionary perspective, and also through all of Rudyard's works, aligning oneself with the greater whole, with the kind of spiritual reason for existence, if you want to say that, and integrating that into one's everyday life. Thank you. Are there any other questions? I think actually we need to stop now because we have to give Alexander Ruperti a chance. We've all been looking forward to hearing from him, so thank you.
For additional information on the work of Nikki Michaels, visit www.beyondsunsigns.com. This is the end of part two of The Progressed Lunation Cycle in Astrology by Nikki Michaels from the 1983 RITA conference. The preceding audio is copyrighted by RITA and was brought to you by RITA, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about RITA or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard at www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com.